Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, you ask and we deliver. I hope you've had a great week and I'm so excited to be here with you. You guys love ways, and who doesn't love this? I love this. Ways that we can make ourselves feel better, like in the moment, not a year from now, not 2 years from now, but today. And I brought someone who I think is amazing, warm, empathic. And Carly Holden is an author, actor, coach, and somatic experiencing trauma practitioner. Like, that's amazing. So what she's done is she's specialized in helping people for the last two decades that have been in poor relationships develop better boundaries. Yep. Overcome anxiety and overthinking. That's me. And to develop a deeper spiritual connection, more self-love and self-worth, so that you, dear listener, can create the life that you dream of and that you want. Carly, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Thank you. I love the way you said all that. It made me feel better.
Oh, good. Well, let's hop right into this. Tell us about you, how you started doing what you're doing. And I think your story is very relatable. And, yeah, you know, kind of, I hand the mic to you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. So when I graduated from Berkeley I studied psychology, and I had this aha moment where I was like, God, universe, what do I do with my life now? I feel like I didn't know how to think past college. And I had this voice say, help people through the media. And I was like, okay, what's media? And I literally, this was 97, 98. And I Googled, or I know I didn't Google, sorry. Google was just coming out, 411, member information.
Oh my God.
And I became an intern at NBC. Long story short, took me to Hollywood, working in production, acting, all things I did growing up. And next thing I knew, successful directors and actors and producers were saying to me, would you please come to my house and teach me how to be happy? Because I grew up with NLP, meditation, yoga. So I had a lot of tools that I was living and exuded this energy of, I'm just happy because. So I'm 22 and I'm like, okay, sure. So I'm showing up at these rich and famous people's homes and I'm guiding them through breath and self-love. And I'm just doing my thing. And I'm like, this is amazing.
You're being happy and you're teaching others how to be happy. What's better than that?
Well, that's when I was guided after a few months of being there I became friends with Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider, and they asked me to hang out with them the day Chris Farley left this world. Mm. So that moment was a pivotal moment for me where I said to myself, I don't know what this is. I don't know what suicide and darkness is. I hadn't woken up to my own traumas. So that may lead us into a different direction. And I just wanted to say denial is a big part of trauma, not getting real. And that's something I grew up with a lot of. I remember my grandma, my dad's mom, just the sweetest lady. Everything was always great. So we either have, like when we first just talked, the spectrum, right? It's big stuff in your face, or maybe it's just hidden and there's a lot of denial and sugarcoating and not being real. Either way, the nervous system doesn't like it. The body doesn't like it. Kids, when we're little, we feel the stress our parents hide from us. That was me. And that's how I raise my kids now. I'm always real. It's important to be real so you separate it so they don't take on the stress of mom and dad. That's one tool, but we can get into that with parenting later. Tell me if I'm going too fast.
No, what I wanted to find out, so you were the happy person and then Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider called you, Chris Farley passes. And now for you, question, were you the person that you're referring to. You were always happy. Were you in denial? So let's talk a little bit about this and what your next steps were.
Beautiful. I was in denial. That's me. I was not awake to my own family, childhood trauma patterns that were more little t, like you and I were talking about. We don't always know what's bothering us. And so when we do this work, when we go into the body, which we'll talk more about some tools, this people will ask me, how do I know? You don't have to look for it. It will come out naturally, like in a dream. It will reveal itself and you'll be like, oh, I never knew that really bothered me. Oh, wow. And we honor every part of our life's experience through not just our mind. We get out of the head and into the body, and we can talk some tools on how to do that later.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So tell us what happened then. So you're with these guys. What's going on? Like, how does that lead you to where you're doing this work now?
Okay. So that's a lot. And I did write a book. So if people want more details, because that's another story, it's very embarrassing. It's very vulnerable. And I heard a voice a decade ago say, you have to write this book. I said, oh gosh, no, I will never say all that. That's like standing naked in front of a mountain. And it said, oh no, no, this is my internal spiritual voice. It said, oh no, you will, because you'll help many, many people. And I said, okay, done. I'll do it. So I would say if we cut forward 20 years, my own dysfunctional relationship started to reveal their pattern to me till I got hit so hard. I don't know if I want to give that away because it's a big part of the book. I got hit so hard that I said, thank you, universe. So the big T hit me. The big T.
Not physical hit, but
both.
Somebody hit you. Yes. Bad relationship, abusive relationship.
Amen. And I just want to add, not to get too into this, abusive in a different way. I was with somebody that it wasn't just like, oh, I'm an abuser, asshole. Sorry, I don't know if we can swear on here.
Totally.
Okay. It was, I'm not well. You need to stay away from me. And I wouldn't, because I had no boundaries, because that's how I grew up. There was a lack of boundaries. And so that's what the universe wanted to wake me up to. So this person was like, something's wrong with me. You need to stay away from me. And I wouldn't. So this person who had two parts to them, like a schizophrenic or split personality, got me into therapy to learn my role of why I was putting up with his. So it's a heartbreaking story, because it's not just a jerk. It's somebody saying, I'm suffering, help me out of here. And my codependence and lack of boundaries wasn't helping. So I really go into how I woke up to owning my part. If you looked at Carlene, who was always, like you said, the happy girl, and then to go, wait, what is my role? If all these men I've attracted, they don't look good. Oh, they're the bad guy. No. Own your part. So that's a big tool. I owned my part. What is this about me that's attracting relationships like this and putting up with so much?
And why am I accepting this?
Exactly. Boom. That's what I woke up to. And that's when I became a trauma practitioner, doing Peter Levine's 3-year training to unwind the nervous system. And I woke up to a lot that I wasn't aware of. So it always takes two. And I think that's a really good tool to help people with, because a lot of people feel like, I haven't done anything wrong. Why is this person being such a jerk? Because it's not about right or wrong. It's about, I would say that's a great tool for people to use right away. What am I learning from this situation? When something not good happens, whether or not it's dating or a relationship, what is this showing me? What is this about me? I love that question. What is the lesson?
This about me, right? And so you were with somebody who basically had good side, bad side, a little Jekyll, Hyde. The good him was good, but the bad him was really bad. And when good him came to, said, you got to get out of this. Like, bad me is not good for you. And why are you putting up with this? And that was your awakening.
Aha. Amen. Perfectly said. Yep.
Okay. Got it. And so you found out that this lack of boundaries, little t, the trauma that you had, made you accept everybody, say yes to all things, be happy, tolerate all of this abuse and dysfunction, and say, thank you, sir. Can I have another?
Exactly. And I know a lot of people can relate to this, because these are the people I help. And I just wanted to add to your point that this is such a good tool. I wish somebody would have told me, the longer we put up with it, the more trauma we're accumulating in our body and mind.
Oof. Say that again for the people in the back.
So the longer we put up with any dysfunctional situation, whether or not it's dating, a relationship, a friendship, a family member, the longer it takes to unwind all the adrenaline we keep building in the body. And I'll use an analogy if that's confusing for people that may not know about adrenaline and the nervous system yet. If you want to get healthy and let's say lose 100 pounds, you have to eat well and move your body for quite a few days. If you don't move and you eat garbage, what are you doing? You're accumulating more weight, more toxins. So won't it take longer to get that out?
Yeah.
Same with our emotions and how we let ourselves be treated. And I didn't know that. So many years, I got to spend many years unwinding, but it was it was a beautiful process I would never take back. And I know it deepened my cup to make me better for others. Because I remember the first psychologist I worked with in Hollywood, my thought was, okay, you're trained, you got your PhD, you got your tools, you sound amazing, but have you been through it? Have you been through heartbreak? And how do you know personally? And I don't even think they could answer because they can't really talk about themselves. I'm not sure, but I am very open. I talk about myself because how is somebody else going to change if they feel better? People love to change when they hear how somebody else did.
100%. And just so you guys, dear listener, you know that I know we were talking about Carly being, you know, the happiness guru and teaching Hollywood celebrities how to be happy. But something that you wrote, you know, really stuck with me. And I think it's very relatable that you were also having, you know, massive symptoms of anxiety, panic attacks, hallucinations, suicidal thoughts, unhealthy relationships. You had all of these things. So you were happy on the outside, but tormented on the inside and didn't even know it until you were cracked open.
Yes, to clarify, well said. However, my first 30 years, I didn't know those symptoms. They happened when I got triggered in my mid 30s. So I really was happy because that's what I was raised with. I didn't know what was bubbling underneath till I got hit hard. And then, so to keep it simple, all that adrenaline I was talking about that gets built up, it can lay dormant. This is very confusing about trauma that I discovered and found in a book when I first got on this path. Like, why all of a sudden now? So when I was the happiness girl, I didn't have that anxiety and tormenting thoughts. That was later. That's when, so stuff can happen to us and it gets pushed down. We don't know it's there. Well, there's quite a few things that happened. So I'll just keep it simple. I got triggered and that's when it all came out because it was time for me to deal with it. Because as we get older, we can only hold it together for so long, or it's not in our awareness. So for me, that was my trauma pattern. I wasn't aware of it. So when I got triggered, it was shocking to me. Wait, I was always happy. What is this? Why am I hallucinating? Why am I having these dark thoughts? Now, remember though, I had taken a lot of violence and manipulation, and this was like my fourth serious abusive relationship. So it all added up. That's what I mean by the longer, the more you take, boom, at some point you're going to get hit. Does that make sense? So there, I didn't always have those symptoms. They were later.
Okay. And so this is after a series of very abusive and violent relationships. So the trauma continued. You were digging those neural pathways even deeper with every relationship. You went back for another. So at this point, by the time you were in your mid 30s, there you were easily triggerable because you had been through so much bad stuff.
Yes, it was time.
We would wish on nobody.
Right. And some, just to clarify, the first three relationships, you couldn't really tell. That's another big part of trauma. It's more manipulative, or what we talk about narcissism these days. It's hard to see. It was that last one that got really big, where I saw a sick person get violent with himself and then me, that woke me up to needing to heal, if that makes sense. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, those patterns of that we need to heal. And that's one of the tools I love working with, is what is this pattern within me that I need to heal so I don't attract this again? Because right when we're dating, that was my motivation. I don't want to go through this again.
100%. It's like you hit rock bottom at a certain point. And you're like, God, the common denominator in all of these messes is me. what am I doing and what do I need to do? So at this point, you not only take responsibility, look in the mirror and say the common denominator is me, but you go out and you start to learn not only to help yourself, but to help others. And I think that so many of the most beautiful solutions in the world are born by us trying to solve our own problems. So kudos to you for, you know, building a bridge over that really painful chasm. And I'm so glad you're here because you understand so many of the things that our clients and our audience have gone through. So tell us, you know, what is trauma? What is considered? We talk about little T trauma. We talk about big T trauma, right? You and I were just sharing before the, you know, it's like my daughter has anxiety, right? Now is that little T trauma? She comes from a very healthy home with two parents that love her a lot. And in therapy, she's like, I have a great family. Like I, like my head just spins, right? So that, what is trauma?
My teacher, Peter Levine, says it perfectly. I think you're going to like this. Trauma is not the event. It's how we respond.
Okay. I love that.
So bullying. Okay. Robin Williams is coming to mind. And the more research I did on him, the more, here's my two cents. Then I think this could be applicable to people. He was bullied a lot when he was in elementary school. Bullying doesn't feel good. I remember my daughter coming home from third grade and boom, the bully starting. And so we started to release that adrenaline immediately. If I didn't know these tools, I might be like, okay, no big deal. Don't take it personally. And we move on. No. Trauma is the nervous system goes up this mountain. And if it doesn't come down to feel safe, we get stuck at the top. And this is where all those symptoms are. The anxiety, so again, let's say it again. Trauma is not the event. It's how we respond.
And what do we typically do without these tools? Like you're saying, it's like in suspended animation.
Yeah. So if your mother-in-law says something little, let's pick. You like your mother-in-law. I'm just picking an example. But she keeps saying something you don't like and you don't say anything. Boom, your body's, it's revving up. Because a natural response, if we get out of the frontal lobe, is, I don't like that. Don't talk like that. But do we always say that? No, we play Mr. and Mrs. Nice Guy. And so I really love, I know we talked about giving people tools right away. I love working with the tools of what's your truth and your throat center. Our centers are so powerful. They're not just these woo-woo energy centers, chakras. I mean, they are. I feel like I'm the trauma made simple girl. I like to make things practical. We speak from our heart, which moves through our throat. So all the times in life, people say things that we don't like. Were we able to say, no, that didn't feel good. No, thank you. Or do we hold it in? And that's when the adrenaline builds and we get angry. We get anxiety. We get dysregulated. So trauma is being out of regulation, deregulated. So we want to come in. So up the mountain, I'm getting stimulated. I don't like this. I get stuck. That's where I work with people to come down to safety. What did I not get to do or say? What are my patterns I'm healing? And then this release happens and the anxiety goes away.
Okay. And I love that because let's take the example of the mother-in-law, right? At a certain point, you may just feel like, oh gosh, this isn't a battle. You know, they always say pick your battles, right? Don't let the small things grate on you. But I think the small things cumulatively add up in us. So let's say, for example, my mother-in-law is giving me paper cut after paper cut on the same thing. I don't like what you're wearing. I don't like how you're cooking. I don't like this, right? And you're right. I won't use my voice because I don't like conflict. So I won't say, hey, that's hurtful. Could you not say that? Or the story I'm telling myself is that you're trying to, you know, be mean to me. Is that true? Right? So I'll hold on to it. So now I'm at the top of the mountain. Okay. I'm stewing in my juice. I'm in fight or flight. It's not healthy for me. And my patience is going to wear thin at some point where I'll probably, what do I do now?
You could even be in freeze. And that's where I get people out of freeze is when our symptoms get really not good. So what you do now, let's say we were working together. I would work on what is your body? We'd get out of the head. So even right now, if you dropped into your gut, for example, let's say this is your story. And you picture what your mother-in-law saying to you, your gut's going to start to get tight. Your heart is going to start to race. We're going to work with sensations. your chest, your muscles are going to start to tighten. So in most talk therapies, what I've heard, they're not working with the body. It's they're analyzing and going through the events in the mind. So we're going to work with the body. And then I'm going to ask your body, your throat, your heart, what do you want to say? And you're going to say it to me. And then your body's going to feel something different and you're going to like it. And then you're going to want more of that. You're going to feel lighter. You can breathe. It's relief. It's like, let's keep it even more simple. If somebody walked up to hit you, do you just let yourself get hit or do you block? Do you move away? Do you say, what are you doing? I like to keep simple analogies like that. So if you just take it, that's not going to feel good. So when people are working on this and working on themselves, they're asking themselves, wait, what do I really want to say or do? And then what is stopping me? If something is, and it could be, oh, well, we're still using you, for example. Well, I grew up in a family where there's not confrontation. That's like me. You don't confront. You don't speak up like that. Everything's okay. That's trauma.
That is true. I mean, my parents are immigrants from India and there's respect to elders and right. And so there's cultural, and I know my culture is not the only one that has things like that, right? There's family dynamics where there's somebody that's very volatile and you can't use your voice or you'll be swacked across the room or you'll be stonewalled and given the freezer treatment and you'll be given the silent treatment. So whether it's spoken or unspoken, I think that these dynamics exist in all of our homes.
Absolutely. So the tool people get to ask themselves is, do I want to work through this? And when they do, I thought I could do it all on my own. What I learned is we can't. And that's why I've been putting myself more out there in the world, because we need support. We need truth. The nervous system needs truth and it needs support. So if you can't go get it from your family, let's say you and I are working together, you get it from me. You get to move your body. You get to find your voice. You get to say it to me. I get to honor your truth. I get to support you. Your body, your nervous system loves that. You come out of trauma. I don't want to fast forward too much. However, then you show up around your family and two things happen. You're a different person. It doesn't touch you. It bounces off you. You don't care as much. You call me and you're like, I'm freaked out. I'm like part of this family, but I'm not. It's not affecting me. Great. Or you have a moment like you see in the movies where someone speaks up and you're like, that was amazing. You know, when you see those scenes in the movies where somebody's just being bullied and they finally say no more and you're like, yes.
Absolutely.
And those are both win-wins, which is what we want. And I think the reason why we're talking about this, because that is what needs to be healed before you can attract a good partner.
So when you say that needs to be healed, what's the that?
The patterns of why am I attracting this? Because we stop attracting it. Once we find our voice and find those boundaries, that mother-in-law, that bad relationship, that bully, guess what? They go away. It's so true. I've been practicing this for 20 years. It gives me goosebumps. And I'm a perfect example of when I'm doing this work, I'm like, oh my gosh, those people, those events that I used to draw in all the time, they don't come in anymore. Now what comes in is respect, kindness, love. So I don't want people to be hard on themselves. It's okay. We all go through this. And, you know, some people don't like necessarily the law of attraction. Some love it. It's very similar to that. If we're resonating with so much love and self-respect and self-love and self-care, which are the tools, the world starts showing us that. When we're too afraid to have our voice or we're taking care of our family's feelings, like you said, culturally, and we're just shut down and tired of dealing with stuff, we're going to attract more of those people and it doesn't feel good. So I got to the place in my life where it's like, I'm not going to die this way and I'm not going to live this way. So there's got to be an answer. So now, Yogananda, I don't know if you've heard of Paramahansa Yogananda. He came over here in the 20s from India, autobiography of a yogi. So he has self-realization fellowships and we go and meditate there. He says, kind and firm. That's my motto. So when we're traumatized or we're deregulated or we're frustrated, we get angry. Then we respond harshly. And when we do this work, then we can respond with kindness and be firm. Like, so for an example, stop, you know, you're yelling, that's anger, get away. Okay, that might feel good, but that's something we'd want to do more in session. So then when people can show up to someone, that's not okay. Feel the difference?
100%.
Now we're kind, but we're firm. And that is something I love. That is not an easy place to get. Don't beat yourself up for that. I've worked many years on getting there. And hey, I'm not a confrontational person either. So I still get to practice. And every time I do, and I'm kind and firm, I feel amazing. Might make me sweat a little bit, but I love it because I don't get anxiety anymore. Anxiety means something's not resolved and we need to find our voice. Our body's not happy about something. And then we go in and we dissect that and we find it and we resolve it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. So I was just thinking about a situation this morning where I drove my 15-year-old to school and he was supposed to be navigating me. He's like, yeah, you know, there's like five places to turn left. He's like, yeah, you got to turn left. And so I'm driving. He's like, no. Right. That was the wrong left. I'm like, dude. My voice raised. I'm like, oh my God, you're the navigator. Why didn't you tell me? You know, and then it was like, okay. And we got to school and it was fine. Then I shot him a text later. I said, hey, I'm sorry I snapped at you this morning. That wasn't my intention. And he's like, I had a TV segment this morning. He's like, you were time pressed. Right. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, what could I do in that situation to prevent snapping? Like, is there a thing?
Here's how we know. When you said it just now out loud, can you drop in and feel what you felt in your body when you're like, dude, what did you say? What were your words again?
I was mad. I was like, because he had his friend in his car and he was like acting like super bro, you know, like 15-year-olds, like, you just missed it. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and it was just like this. Okay, now what? Like, I have to get them to school so they don't get detentions, get to the TV studio. So I felt just like off kilter, like, oh my God, now you're supposed to be doing this and you're telling me I did this wrong. And like, you're such an idiot. And that triggered.
Stay right there. Feel your breath, feel your body. Did you really snap and do anything wrong? Or did you have your voice? Because what I'm hearing is you had your voice. You're like, hello, you're being a whatever.
Yeah. And okay, yeah. So that's using my voice.
Feel that in your body right now. How do you feel?
Well, it sounds much better coming from you saying that wasn't mean. I was like, I didn't scream. I didn't yell. It's like, oh my God, you're supposed to tell me where to go.
Okay, that right there, feel it. If everybody listening who's a parent or in any situation, that to me feels good. I tune into people. I feel your strength. Where I think the trauma pattern is you apologizing after like it's your fault. Because he had a role too. He was acting a certain way. So the healthy boundary or the way you could respond instead of owning it completely and apologizing like it was all you.
That's
would
healthy.
Be, yeah, you took full responsibility.
100%.
So there's the trauma pattern I'd work on with you. It's not all you. You did nothing wrong. Actually, if you would have gotten very angry where you're screaming and calling him names, we would look at that. You said your truth. You could next time, instead of apologizing, say, hey, I'd just like to talk to you. I noticed these behaviors you were having that didn't make me feel good. And you weren't showing me where to go. So that's why I said, hey, da da da. Now feel that as I say that. Does that feel better?
Oh my God. So much better and so much more correct. You're right. I tend to take full responsibility. I am the firstborn. I own a company. Everything is my responsibility, right?
And so
I know how to fix things. I know. And so, yes.
Okay, you just said it. I was wondering. So you learned that somewhere growing up, you take full responsibility because there's something there you want to fix from childhood. So okay. Now as an adult, you feel that?
I want to be perfect.
Yes. But we could work on that a little bit more to let you not be perfect.
Guys, aren't you happy you're in my therapy session with Carly? Who would have expected this?
But people love this because we do what we do because we want to be real. I love being real.
I'm super. I don't know how to be anything but real, but then I'll take responsibility. I'm like, oh God, I'm really sorry for being real. And that would be my part in this, right? It's like, I use my voice, but then I'll apologize. And I do love the words, I'm sorry, right? And I think somehow in our society, we've gone so away from using those words where I think that they're so disarming and beautiful. And I want us as a culture to learn the right middle ground, that there are a lot of times where it's okay to apologize and say, I'm sorry.
Absolutely. It's out of balance. Otherwise, or you say it too much like you. And I'm watching my 2.5-year-old start to be like, oh, I'm sorry, mama. And I'm like, no, you don't need to say sorry. I'm teaching him now. This is when you say sorry. No, you don't need to say sorry now. So that's something you'd want to work on. Wait, did I really do something wrong here? Oh, I'm sorry from the heart. Or am I trying to make everything okay and fix it and be a people pleaser and keep everybody happy? Yeah. No, we don't want that. That's what I work with people on too.
I love that. And so let's talk about all of this stuff that we all have inside of us, including me, who, you know, we all have it. Like, how can we attract more love and healthy relationships?
Well, it's doing what we've been talking about so far. It's going. Have you ever worked on yourself where you go in the body and you feel those sensations?
No.
Oh, you're going to love this. It's a whole new world. So our frontal lobe, our brain, tells us a lot. It's beautiful for getting us on time, getting to this call, talking to each other. I see you in front of me, getting from A to B. It's not good for overthinking our feelings and trusting our gut. That's where we get into another part of our brain. So your question, tell me your question again. Sorry.
It was just attracting more love and healthy relationships into our lives.
So you ask yourself, do I love myself enough to go within and feel what I need to feel and find anything that may be unresolved where I keep noticing something showing up in my life I don't like? Am I vulnerable or ready to get vulnerable and real, knowing it doesn't have to be scary? Because a lot of people that come to me have been through very dark, scary stuff. It's not about talking about it. A lot of times I won't even know people's whole story. I know what their body's telling me. And we create a safe environment to unwind and come out of the trauma. Again, whether or not it's big T or little T, it's, do I love myself enough? Or let's say it this way. The pain of not having the right relationship or not having love, let that pain be so big that you'll do anything to change it. And the anything is going within and doing yourself first. I can't attract respect and love and joy unless I know how to give it to myself first. How do I do that? I start going within and I learn what I need to heal, what patterns, and ask for support. And that's what I did. And I love it. And to this day, if I get triggered or something comes up, so I've been doing this work 10, 15 years now. So what used to bother me for weeks, hours, days, months. I said that wrong. Let me say that better. Many hours, many days, many weeks, months, whatever, is now minutes. And my clients, the people I work with love that because they're more in their first 6 months. So they're like, oh. So what I'll do is I'll find, who do I need to call right now? Is it my husband? Is it my daughter? Is it my other people I've trained with, other therapists that do what I do? Oh, even knowing I can. Oh, my body's already calming down because I'm telling my body, I love you enough to put you first and look at this and take our attention off the other person. Oh, this is my favorite tool. If you want love and you want good, think if you I'm very visual. So we're looking outside, right? We're going outside. I used to do this thing when I was little before I even knew this work. It was when I was at Berkeley in my first serious relationship and something started to go funny. I was like, wait a minute. I took my hands and I literally started pulling them towards my face like this, like, no, Carly, stop thinking outside of yourself. Bring all your attention back to you. Look at you. Who are you? Don't give that person your attention. That to me is life-changing because when we change on the inside and really develop this relationship with ourselves, not to sound cheesy, and I love Whitney Houston, the greatest love is happening. The greatest love of all is happening to me. Mm-hmm. What was she singing about? Herself.
Herself.
She's our role model. Talk to her spirit. Look what she's been through. I was the same way. In my teens and 20s, I was writing about self-love. So back to the beginning of our talk, when you were asking me questions of my journey, when I woke up to getting really triggered, I looked back at my old writings and I was like, I was writing to me, not the world. And I'm getting chills right now. I was writing about self-love because I wrote a book called Can You Please Talk to My Girlfriend? Because in Hollywood, men would always come up to me and say, could you please talk to my girlfriend? You seem so happy and like you love yourself. And so Rob Schneider at the time said, hey, that's the title of your book. Because I was always just writing little self-love, spiritual things that just channeled through me. And so that's the teaching. Do your relationship with yourself first. If you really want to find love and have fun and have good dates and know when to walk away and know when to marry the right person, fall in love with yourself first.
And falling in love with yourself means prioritizing yourself and listening to what it is you actually need in that moment, especially when you're triggered.
Yes. Yes. Or you could even do it when you're not triggered to be preventative, proactive. And I want to add one more thing. When we do this, whether or not you're religious or spiritual, it doesn't matter. We start deepening our connection to something much bigger than ourselves. That divine love knocks our socks off. It is bigger than any romantic love. That is a whole nother podcast we could talk about. I just want to throw that seed out there because after 20 years of doing this work, that is happening to me now in my meditations. My heart is exploding with love for no reason. And let's just leave that there. Can you feel me? Like, I don't want to start crying, but there's something beautiful right here.
Well, that remember, we own. Because you were created in love. You are love, right? And love is our higher self. It is our highest self. And the world has put fear into us, right? And every time, and I love Marianne Williamson, and it's The Course in Miracles says, when I realize, oh, wait, I'm in fear brain right now. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling depressed. The power to shift that is squarely within us to go back literally to our higher self and say, I was created in love and this is my fake brain leading me astray. So I am right there with you. For smart daters that are listening to this, you know, I have been talking to you all month about, are you in fear brain or are you in love brain? And you have the ability to create the miracle inside of you. A miracle is going from fear brain into love brain. So you, Carly, are creating your own miracles.
And the tool, thank you for that. That's beautiful. And people may be asking, well, how do I get out of the fear brain? The tool is we regulate the nervous system. We can't just do it through the brain. Some people can. I'm not saying you can't. The people I've worked with and myself, and I think you might be able to relate to this. If we really want that fear brain to stop coming out, and like you said, the world is full of fear. Our families have stuff we grew up with. There's a way to forget that and not put our attention on that. By regulating the nervous system, coming out of that fight, flight, freeze response, no matter how big or little the traumas are. So if we're in that fear brain, it means something needs to be resolved. And I feel like because I've gotten to find my voice and regulate and complete so much, and this is what I do with people, that the heart can open more because I feel safe. So now I can get back to what did create me instead of being bombarded by the external. It's like, who cares? We leave this world alone. We come in alone. All that matters is right here. It's a journey to get there. It's not just super easy, but it feels amazing every step of the way.
Can you give us a couple of things that we can do to regulate our nervous system? We talked about cognizance, self-awareness. What do I need right now? Like, what do I need to learn from this? What am I feeling right now? Okay, so now we're like, I'm feeling angry because Max didn't tell me to turn it the right way and then looked at me like I was the idiot, right? Now what do I do with that? Like, what are the steps? Because all of us, every listener here could stand to use some, hey, what can I do to maybe just tamp it down? We're never going to get to zero, but if we can just regulate at that moment.
Okay, so first point is, you said self-awareness. That's perfect. What are my feelings? Oh, I'm getting angry. Step two is, what is my lesson here? What am I learning? There are two different steps. So for you this morning, let's have you answer it if you want, for fun, if you don't want to. But what do you think you learned from just us talking about that situation? It could be very simply, well, I'll let you answer that first.
I think I learned that I don't love how he behaves around friends in my presence and tries to be like cool bro. So I think that grated on me early enough. And then the lack of responsibility on his part for doing his job also grated on me.
So this is the third step. Feel that in your solar plexus right now. If you were to even close your eyes, drop right down in right below your heart, because I can feel it. That you drop out of your head and you feel that sensation. I don't like how he, and you sit with that. You don't go apologize. You get out of your head. You go into your body. And you say, thank you, body. You're telling me what, how you didn't like that I was treated.
I love that. That gave me chills.
Yes, because you're honoring yourself. And this is the unwinding right there. It's like, oh, I didn't like that. We sit with that. That's the first step. You just sit with that. You don't have to think. We work so quickly, right? Then the next thing is, well, what do I do? What do I say? No, slow down. Just be with that. Drop. That's my favorite tool. That changed my life. I was all up in my head. I had no body. I was a walking around head. When I learned to drop out of my head, I was like, oh, there is a whole world down here. My emotions started to release. I had tears I had never experienced that felt amazing. I got into my voice, into my power. So that step of feeling your solar plexus and your truth. There's three steps right there. Do we want to go more?
Well, I love that because I think that there's so much pressure on us, myself included. Like I might react, but then I freeze. So I think, and I always say, oh man, I should have said this, or I should have picked up the ball. Like I could have said blah, blah, blah. But what you're saying is it's okay. If you didn't have anything else to say and you didn't want to escalate it, it's okay to sit with it and come back to it and then talk to the person, use your voice constructively when you are not in escalated mode. And you can really get at, what do I feel like was a violation? What was your part? And how could you do better for yourself and for me in the future?
Beautiful. Like, we need to write that out. That was okay. Perfectly said. I love that. And I just saw it for your smart daters. It's the same thing. Yeah. If they go out on a date or they're dating someone, this process is the exact same. And you made me think of another awesome point. And you and you've been married many years. I've been married 7 now. What I've learned, I'm in my first healthy relationship in my life, in my 40s.
And you're married and you have 2 kiddos.
Yes, he's amazing. And here's why it works. This is maybe another podcast. We both own our part. If any relationship is to work, both people, both relationships, even parents and children, my 13-year-old daughter and I both do this. She's doing it amazingly. This is my boundary in this house. Nobody's perfect. We all own our part. No blaming. We can say what we want. Well, this is a lot of tools and there's a lot to say around this, but I'll keep it simple. If we all own our part, it's going to flow. Things can be messy. Things can be hurt. Things can be wrong, but it won't get dark and ugly. That is when somebody's not owning their part and just wants to blame. So you want to walk away from that. That's much bigger stuff there. When you are owning your part, you're going to attract other people that will do the same and it will flow. So we could practice with your son. Your son sounds pretty awesome. If you were to
He's amazing.
So if I would love
up here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I would love that. Oh my gosh. We should do that. That'd be amazing. Or we could do it another time. However, you say you get to practice and then we see his response. And he'd probably say, sorry, mom. I was being rude. My friends were around. Boom. Now the beauty is just, this flower has just blossomed. Now the love can flow, you know?
Right. And it brings me to, I value authenticity and I value consistency. And when you have one personality in front of one person and another in front of another person, I don't love that in people. I don't have people like that in my life.
Amen.
So you're right. That was a boundary violation for me without knowing what I valued.
That is so beautiful what you just said. Sorry. I'm saying sorry because I thought I interrupted you. So that's when we do say sorry. So we would apply that to even any of your patterns where you feel like you're too nice or you don't say things at certain times. We would take that up a notch. Let's say I was working with you. So you're authentic all the time, even when you don't want to be.
Yeah.
There's a way to do it that feels amazing. So it's a little scary at first, but it feels great. It's like a good workout. Okay. Here's a good analogy. My husband and daughter wanted to try, I'm still practicing saying the word, jujitsu. Have you heard of jujitsu?
Jujitsu, sure.
I never knew exactly. I mean, I'd heard of it, but I didn't know what it was. So they
said Brazilian martial arts, right?
Yes. Yes. So they said, come with me. Let's try it. Uh-oh, I just lost my train of thought. Why am I bringing this up?
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Right before that, what were you saying?
You were saying your husband and your daughter. We were talking about the tools.
The authenticity. Oh, not being afraid to confront. Okay. That's, it'll come to me. It's something to do with this. So in that jiu-jitsu, we are confronting, we are saying things that could make us feel uncomfortable. So learning, I did lose my train of thought, but I'm kind of getting it. I'll go back to it. It's learning that it's okay. Oh, I know what it is. It just came to me. I was uncomfortable doing it, but it felt amazing. Right? It's something new. People are sitting on top of you. You're in neck holds. You're getting out. And after it felt amazing, I'm more empowered. I know how to get out. So I think the point is when you want to find your voice or try new things to be authentic or confront when it's not comfortable, there's a way to do it that feels amazing. So just like me going to this class being like, I don't know. Is that him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You've been the subject of my podcast. Do you want to come in here and say hi?
Hey.
Oh, this is going out to the airwaves. So this is my son, Max. Max, say hi to the podcast world.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, Max. So happy to see you. Oh, my gosh. This is
so cute.
So cute. This is perfect timing. Well.
So, yes, he is. We are going to the tailors. And so he needs to get a suit fixed because we have some parties coming up and homecoming. So he was like, okay, it's 4 o'clock. So very funny. Right. Very boundaries. Funny. He's got boundaries.
Nice. What year in school?
Sophomore.
Oh, fun. Super fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we have some more we could talk about, but do we need to let you go to get your suit fixed?
We've got a couple. Did you have any more things that you wanted to tell our Smart Dating Academy listener world?
Gosh, I feel like we covered so much. This has been so fun.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm so glad that, you know, you clearly, and thank you, listeners. I hope that you know, through Carly coaching me from my episode this morning in the car with my son, I hope that you guys all learn. Because you're sitting here going, what? Right. Yeah. And so, but really that we all go through these things and we all feel the feelings and then sitting with it and then coming back to it constructively versus just saying you're sorry when it wasn't you or freaking out at someone, really sitting with it.
Yeah.
Understand what your body needs and then asking for it in a constructive way. I hope this has helped you, dear listener, as much as it has helped me today.
Awesome. That's a perfect example. And Max, because you're sitting right there, do you feel like your mom freaked out this morning or was it not too bad?
I feel like it was not too bad, but we were just kind of in a rush. So
yeah. Do you feel like you have any part to play in it? Did you do anything that might have irritated her, may have irritated her a little bit?
Yeah, maybe my lack of directions.
Oh, that's very sweet of you to say. We were just talking about how when everybody in life, and I wish I would have known this at your age, you seem awesome. I have a 14-year-old daughter who's doing this too. If we all just own our part and say what it is we want, life is much more beautiful. So thank you for being real and just saying that. How did that feel, Mom?
Oh my gosh, it was great. My son just walked into the podcast studio, not knowing what was going on, hearing he was the subject of today's podcast and our little episode in the car. But Carly, this was amazing. Where can we learn more about you and your beautiful offerings?
Oh,
I know your website is carlyholden.com.
Yeah, that's perfect. My name is my mom, which is Karen, K-A-R, and my dad, Lee. They thought they were having a third boy. So literally I came out and they're like, oh, it's a girl. We had all boys picked out. So let's just put our names together. So that's why it's K-A-R-L-E-E.
Carly Holden. And we'll put your website in our notes and we'll definitely have you back on the podcast. This was awesome.
I would love to. So nice to meet you. I wish I could come get your suit tailored with you.
We'll let you all know how it goes. So, smart daters, if this has inspired you in any way, It's September. And if you need help in the dating world, if you need to learn what your patterns are, if you need to learn how to use your voice, there's help out there. Okay. There's a variety of people. We bring you different tools and resources and experts every week. This week, I had this amazing conversation with Carly Holden. Feel free if you guys want help in actually getting your dating life in order. You've been hemming, you've been hawing. You're like, God, I need some accountability. God, I need a personal trainer for my love life. Go to smartdatingacademy.com, set up a consultation with us. So again, Carly, thank you for being with us. Smart daters, until next week, I bid you farewell and I send you a week full of nothing but love, good juju, and nervous system regulation.
Talk to you
soon.
Love it.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love, follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.